This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's good, Bulls fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Horns Over Hoop podcast. I'm your host, Sal Bass, and standing by, as always, are my co-hosts, Dan Gracie and Scott Berman. Fellas, say hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's
going good, All right, we got kind of a different show for you guys tonight. So normally we stick to the Bulls being a Horns Over Hoop, you know, Chicago Bulls podcast. But today we're going to go outside the box and break down kind of how the rest of the NBA is looking out like. So we're going to be covering all of everything from the teams that are playing well, teams are playing better than expected. We're going to go into the teams that have been struggling, and we're going to go into the teams that weren't really playing up to the way that we thought they would. We're going to break down the rookies and MVP race, and maybe if you're lucky, we got a little game for you at the end. So come on, let's get it going. Dan, why don't you take us through some of the teams that have been playing relatively well?
I got Denver. They're, you know, the defending champions. Doing well because they got the Joker. He's been averaging around 20 points and 10 rebounds, just under 7 assists. With Jamal Murray gone, I think they'll be okay because they still have Kevin Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon. You know, they're the defending champions. They're going to be just fine. I also put Dallas down. They're second in the West. Kyrie is averaging 20 points and just under 8 assists. Luka is being Luka. I mean, he's getting 32 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. So, but yeah, it looks like Luka and Kyrie finally figured it out. And they have a decent enough supporting class around the two stars to give them that push to get into the Western playoffs. Going over to the East, I got Boston with Jason Tatum, who seems like he's on a mission this year just to get to finish what he started last year. The addition of KP, Andrew Holiday, did nothing but good things for the team, I think. And then I also put down the Sixers. Embiid is putting up an MVP season once again. I fully expect him to continue his dominance. And Maxey, I got him for my most improved player of the year this year. What do you guys think?
Really, I don't see anybody stopping Denver or Boston. They're just so much better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Even like you said, they have some injuries in Denver, but it hasn't slowed them down.
Didn't slow, like the Jamal Murray thing didn't slow them down last year. Was it last year that Jamal Murray came back at the end of the season or... Because he was out for a while. No Jamal Murray. No problem. They have the Joker. Trust the Joker.
Boston picking up... Who'd
Drew
they pick
and
up?
KP.
Yeah. Porzingis looks like the most comfortable he's ever looked.
Since like his rookie year.
Yeah, he's back to what he was on the Knicks, but he's better.
Yeah.
And they really picked up a lot with Drew Holiday. It was a great pickup. It's back to, they're getting the defense that they had when Marcus Smart was younger. and he can actually score and pass the ball. So that was a great move.
Yeah, I got Boston still to win it all this year. Sal, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to pretty much agree with both of you guys. I mean, for the most part, the standings in the East, that is, kind of look more or less the way we predicted it early on. Boston being number one, no surprise there. I mean, with the additions they made, they're just a well-oiled machine. They just bolstered what they were lacking last year. In the West, the Nuggets, I mean, come on, they're defending champions. You know, they were number one last year. They're going to be number one this year in the West. Who knows? We'll see if they carry that momentum throughout the year. But for now, it's working with them. The shocker that I got right now, believe it or not, is Dallas being number two. And the reason why I think that's a shocker is the fact that I didn't think that Luka and Kyrie would be able to play as well as they did. I know they didn't play together for a couple of those games, but nonetheless, getting off to a 6-1 start, I mean, that's really good. I mean, you're up there with teams like with the Warriors, you know, the Suns are you know, not up there. Timberwolves, I mean, they're off to a good start.
Just because Ant's having like a breakout year. He's putting the league on notice. The only thing that's a question mark for me when it comes to the Wolves is what are you doing with all these centers? If I was them, honestly, I would get rid of Cat.
I mean, the thing is, like, it would have been beautiful. It would have been beautiful if, like, you could play Cat and Rudy together, you know. But Cat's a center. You know, Rudy's a center. You can't play one power forward, one the other. I mean, it's redundant. Would you get rid of Cat and keep Rudy then?
I would trade Cat. That way Cat can actually, like, blossom into the player that he can be. Because I think throughout his years in Minnesota, he's had some sort of like obstacle in his way to kind of detour him off him being a star. Because I think Cat could easily be a top three center in the league.
I think he was at one point, wasn't he?
He might have been, but I mean, there's always someone else or something else holding him back. Like before it was Wiggins, now it's Ant. And before that, it was like all the coaching and front office stuff that he had to go through. So I think that a change of scenery would project Cat into like
the another one that's kind of I'm on the fence about is 76ers being second in the East. I mean, they're 5-1 right now. They did just make that big blockbuster trade dealing Harden to the Clippers. What do you think that's going to do to them, Scott? Like, what do you think that's going to do to their record? Do you think they're going to continue this momentum? Do you think their team gets better? I mean, I know he wasn't playing, so, I mean, that's a 5-1 record without him even playing. But what do you think that's going to do to them? Because they lost PJ Tucker too, mind you.
I think they're going to be just fine. Like, Harden, he's really good, but he doesn't need to be the one with the ball all the time. They need to be playing through Embiid. Harden can't play with other superstars. He's shown that he's a stat guy. He needs to just put up his stats. He doesn't care how the team's doing. I think it's going to be a better locker room without him, and I think they're going to be just fine without him because Maxey has taken that spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think with Harden now gone, I think the Sixers are going to only get better because that's one less thing they have to worry about. That's one headache gone. So, yeah, they can just focus on, like, winning now and not, like, what is James up to? He's probably at strip club.
So do you guys see anybody at the top of these standings that are like, all right, they're not going to be there for very much longer?
I mean, I wouldn't be that surprised if the Wolves actually kind of plateau a bit. Like, they're probably at this peak in the beginning of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if they finish like six when it's all said and done, you know?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Wolves, and probably Dallas will jump back a bit.
Yeah.
They'll average out, but Dallas will be a top team. The Wolves, they're a playoff team, but I don't think they're top three or four. They could definitely miss the play-in game easily, but I just don't think they are. What I'm really surprised about is Golden State has had a massive bounce back this year.
Well, that's the thing about Golden State. Like, the Golden State, to me anyways, I feel like they're like how the Spurs were when like they had Tim Duncan,
Tony,
you know, the old Spurs where like you see him like stumble a little bit, but you never count the Warriors out ever. And I think that they're doing real well this year, but mainly because they got rid of Jordan Poole. I think he was a problem. Honestly, I don't mean to shit on Jordan Poole, but I think he was a problem in the locker room. There's a reason why he got punched.
Gen X Nick Young, man.
Dude, he's for real.
Gen Z Nick Young.
Yeah, not Gen X.
That's what he is. Gen Z Nick Young.
He's the new Nick Young. He's a straight clown. He can ball. He can ball. No doubt. But he's a straight clown on the court.
Yeah. What before Nick Young, it was Monta Ellis. Don't pretend like it wasn't.
It was Monta.
Okay.
It
hold was on. Monta. Hold on. All right.
I'm not gonna take hold that slander. On.
All right, we've come to life. We've drifted more towards the unfactual side of the Horns Over Hoop podcast. Okay. Are we comparing Jordan Poole and Monta Ellis?
Hey, Jordan Poole has those games where he can randomly go off.
Dude, yeah. But then he has those games where it's just like, what? Does he know how to play basketball?
Yeah. He just does clown-ass shit. And he's in the perfect spot to do clown-ass shit. With that whole team, you got Kuzma on there. He I don't even know what's going on with his hair. He's got like a kiss in his hair.
Kuzma's a clown too. They should really just rename it like the
Did you guys
DC
see
clowns.
Jordan Poole take that corner three and then turn around to the bench, try to do like the Curry, and then three, he missed it.
Yeah, and missed it. He missed it hard. Nick Young.
Yeah, where Nick Young like took the shot, turned around, did the three, and missed it. Didn't Kemba did it too? Yeah.
Scott, real quick, Scott. It wasn't Monta before Nick Young. It was J.R. Smith.
Oh yeah, it was J.R. Smith.
Because that guy could shoot lights out any given night, but he'll also do some dumbass shit. Just ask LeBron.
Yeah, I lost the.
You mean dribble the ball out?
Finals.
Yeah.
Yeah. But jumping back to the Warriors a bit, Curry is somehow shooting 47% from three, taking 12 threes a game.
The best.
Yeah. That's absolutely insane.
He's the best shooter in NBA history. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Anytime you're watching the Warriors, you're watching history.
Yeah. I mean, anytime. I don't think I've ever watched another player where he pulls up a shot and you're surprised when he misses. You know what I mean? Every shot Curry takes, I'm expecting him to fall.
I don't know if you guys saw yesterday, but Draymond got his
kicked in the nuts.
Move done to him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's about time.
I saw that. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, when I did saw that clip, I didn't feel any sympathy. I was like, well, it's about time you got what's coming. I love Draymond, but just plays really hard defense.
Sometimes a little too hard.
Yeah, that's what
it
is.
So you guys are going to sit here with the Atlanta Hawks, fourth overall in the Eastern Conference. You're going to tell me they're going to stay there?
I'm going to go over the Atlanta Hawks, and I'm going to tell you
why. So you think losing John Collins, probably a pivotal piece in their lineup, you think that they're going to stay fourth, Scott?
Oh, I don't think they're going to stay fourth. I just think that they're going to be a top six.
Like in the East? Okay, I could see that. So you think they'll be better than us? The Bulls, that is.
Is that a question? What?
No. I'm saying
have
that
you
because
watched the Bulls?
At the beginning of the cast, we said the Bulls were going to finish sixth.
We said a lot of silly things.
We also said if Lillard was still in Portland, they would be like a playoff team in the East.
Silly.
Yeah,
I'm
we
still
did
not
say that.
Dismissing
that was
that.
The dumbest was thing dumb. We said. No,
Portland.
Okay,
Portland
they were dog shit in a very dominant Western Conference. I want to see how Damian Lillard and that whole team would have played in the East.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
No,
that's
yeah,
more
that
yeah
makes more sense. We did say that if they're in the
not record wise because East, you can't then, just yeah, have an 82 okay. games in the West and say well yeah they battled against. The hardest conference in the NBA. You bring them to the East, where, in my opinion, the East has always been lacking. I think they would have finished playoff wise. They got great talent. I mean, they have with Dame.
With Dame.
Yeah, I mean, they have some talent over there. I think they would have fared fairly well. I will go as far as to say is they would have beaten us.
Pretty trade. Yeah. No.
What about I mean, I know we briefly touched on it, but what about flashes of being good? Do you see any teams that are like, they're there, they show some flashes, but the fire's not quite started yet?
Yeah. So one of the big ones, the Pelicans, right now they're 4-3. They did start 4-1, so they were beating teams. But the problem is the games that they lost, they're losing by like an average of 21 points.
And so when they lose bad.
Yeah, and when they win, it's only by like 7 points, 6 or 7. So it's not like they're dominating teams, but they're getting blown out. The one good thing was they are 3-1 versus teams over 500, so it seems like they can play up to good teams, but it just seems like they struggle against bad teams.
So it's kind of like what the Bulls do. They always play down to their competition.
Yeah. Zion, he continues to show that he's obviously a force in this league. Like, if he can stay healthy, big if there, he's going to be, he could be an MVP candidate at some point. Brandon Ingram right now is really struggling with his shooting. I think he's shooting like 15% from three. So that's for a guy that built his game off that, like being able to take jump shots and things like that and having the length. Because when he came in the league, everybody kind of said, he's kind of like KD. He can shoot from anywhere, and he's not doing that. The one good thing they do have is they got a rookie guard named Jordan Hawkins who dropped 31 against Denver.
Do you mean to tell me that Brandon Ingram is shooting worse than Patrick Williams? Because Patrick Williams is shooting 16%
from three. Yes.
So from three. So we have somebody in the league who's shooting worse than Patrick Williams. I'm a BI fan, man. I love Brandon Ingram. I wish we'd find a way to get him to Chicago because I think he would fit well on our team. But he's one of those players that any night, once he gets going, he'll have a breakthrough night and drop 40 on you easily. And he'll make it look like he wasn't even on the court.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of Ingram since he got into the league. I've been wanting him on the Bulls for a really long time. I would trade DeMar for him in a minute.
Yeah, he's going to bounce back. He's not going to continue to shoot that bad.
I mean, he dropped 22 points season last night.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, his big thing is he can't hit threes. He's just struggling, period, to shoot. He's going to get his rhythm back, and I think the Pelicans are going to be fine. They've shown that they can beat
the teams. Really liking them. I mean, I'm a big fan of Valanciunas. I'm a big fan of Brandon Ingram. They still have, I think CJ McCollum got hurt, and they have Zion. I mean, I personally think Valanciunas is a very underrated center in this league. The man gets you 17 points and like 14 rebounds a game.
Alvarado. They have Alvarado.
Oh, too. Jose.
I hate him, but he's a...
Or do you hate him because he looks like Dylan Brooks in a way? Like, he reminds you of a Dylan Brooks.
No, he looks like that guy from... He looks like... what's his name? Zero from Holes? Tell me he doesn't.
I guess, yeah. No.
Yeah, so another team kind of showing some flashes. This was actually Sal's team at the beginning of the year to take a step. The Pacers.
Yes. Oh, finally, they're getting some respect. All right, go ahead.
They're 4-3 currently, so... They lost to us, so that's a down thing on them. They lost to the Bulls. Kind of embarrassing. They're leading the league in points per game with like 125 points per game. But the issue is they're 28th in the league for allowing points because they're allowing 122 points a game. So they can score, but their defense sucks.
I mean, they're young, though, right?
Yeah, they're young. But they're clearly not trying on defense, which is a huge issue, and they're hoping their offense can just cover for them, which it kind of is. They're shooting almost 50% from the field right now as a team, and 40% from three. So they're fourth in the league in field goal percentage and third in the league in three-point percentage. So they absolutely have the offense. It's if they can keep, like, figure out their defense, they'll be good. Halliburton right now is having, like, an all-star season. I think he's averaging, like, 24 points, and he's leading the league with 11.7 assists a game, which is insane. He's bringing back the passing. He's bringing back the Chris Paul point guard role.
Yeah. Did you see him drop 43 the other day?
Oh, it was against the Hornets. Effortlessly? No, it was against the Hornets.
Yeah. Just dropped 43 points the other day.
Was it on us?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's 43 points. No, honestly, like, I'll chime in because they're a team I really like. You know, the Pacers have it all. The only thing they don't have is exactly what you touched on, is a reliable defense. The problem is they have probably arguably one of the best defending centers in the game of Miles Turner. But the problem is with nobody taking it down low anymore, his defense kind of doesn't get to show as well as it does, because, well, nobody's taking it down low. Everyone's shooting threes. And I think that's where Miles Turner was superior, was his defense. Now, mind you, he can also shoot the long ball. That whole team can shoot the long ball. They have Buddy Hield. I mean, I think Buddy Hield is shooting in the 40s. Scott, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, he's shooting, 46% from three right now.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been a big fan of Buddy Hield. I don't know why he's coming off the bench.
I think it's a perfect spot for him. He looks comfortable coming off the bench.
So like a Lou Williams type of role?
Yeah, he's like a six man right now. I think he's like third on the team in scoring, and he's shooting like career highs and like field goal and threes. So he looks comfortable, and he's been talked about of, is, should he be still in the league? Like, where is his spot? And I think he finally found it.
I mean, I was always, like I said, I've always been a fan of Hield, even when he was on the Kings. I would have taken him on the Bulls. I would take him now. I mean, here's the thing, man. He's one of those he fits in the category of few elite players that when they're on the court, you got to keep one eye on him at all times. Because if you even give that guy a few inches of room, he's nailing a three on you. Really big fan of his.
One thing that can really help him, which will probably change later in the year,
Benedict Mertherin.
Yeah, he's definitely having a sophomore slump because his shooting is way down. All his stats are way down compared to last year. And if he can get back to what he was doing as a rookie, it's going to help him tremendously down the stretch.
Yeah, I still think they're going to be number two in our division. I think it's going to go Bucks, Pacers, Cavs, Detroit, us, the Bulls. I mean, I think Cavs will battle with the Pacers, but I still think Pacers will be number two in our division.
Yeah, I agree. I think at the end of the day, it's going to go Bucks, Pacers, Cavs, Chicago, Detroit. Or Detroit, Chicago. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Yeah. We're
on the bottom. One of us or Detroit's on the bottom.
I mean, honestly, we're 12th in the East. I mean, cool. I don't know, man.
isn't there only 15 teams?
Yeah, but you guys gotta remember, we played 8 games. I mean, you gotta think, we could win one game right now and we'd be 7th. You know what I mean? True. That's, you know, and who do we play next? Never mind, we're playing the Suns next, so okay. But yeah. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's so early in the season that, okay, the Pacers have 4 wins. They're 6th overall. We have 3 wins, and we're 12th overall. You know, this is one of those situations where the record doesn't show how terrible we really are, or it doesn't show how good we really are. But I don't know. I think we're going to make a move and shake things up. We'll get it together. I don't quit, damn it. I don't quit on my team.
There you go, Sal. another team that really has shown flashes is OKC. We saw what they did to us. Shea is putting up all-star numbers again. He just keeps getting better every year. He's just one of those players that are just going to keep being more and more. He's basically like an Ant type player. He's averaging, what, 25, 7, and 6 this year. So he's having career highs in rebounds and assists. And he just, he's one of those players that can just score 40 points just randomly, 40, 50 points. So if he can keep doing what he's doing with that team, he'll be, they'll be fine. Chet Holmgren, we finally get him to see him play after he got injured last year by LeBron. By LeBron dunking on him. And he's living up to the hype that he had in his draft, from his draft. He's getting the rebounds. He's getting like 8 rebounds a game. He scores like 17 points. And he's shooting like 54% from the field. So he can really score from anywhere. He's great on defense. He's getting like 2 blocks a game. And I think he's right in the rookie of the year race with Wembanyama. So
yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's going to go down to Wemby or Chet. Chet being just one of those unicorn generational talents. Josh Giddey too, though. Yeah, like don't sleep on this kid.
The Slob Wizard. Did you guys see that tweet? The Slob Wizard tweet.
No. Please expound on that for me.
So. There's a guy from The Athletic named John Hollinger. He tweeted it was just like a video of Josh Giddey throwing like an inbound pass that just a sideline inbound pass that went. It was like a perfect pass to a cutting Shea, and he called him a slob wizard. So sideline out of bounds wizard.
Because, oh jeez. Okay. Yeah,
so he called him a slob wizard, and then. Because every game he's making those kind of passes. He has such a good basketball IQ that he knows where people are going to be. And just that team, they know how to move off the ball and make those kind of plays. But Giddey just was so confused. Was like, slob wizard?
He's probably like, are you insulting me? Or yeah. Is that, that's a compliment? All right. Well, real quick, I want to expound on the Thunder is, and this is one thing that I really like about them, is they're currently 4-3, okay? They're sitting at 6th in the West, and they are a real threat to climb that ladder, and they're doing it without really many veteran people on that team. It's all young players. So just to further get into that, this team can only get better. As those players mature, they're already great players. Shea is, again, a generational talent. You know, Giddey, you know, they all fit their mold. This team is only going to get better and better and better. And again, it's just really just mind-blowing that they're able to accomplish this without any veterans. I mean, you look at every other team, they're doing good because of a veteran all-star, or a veteran, you know, key player. But they're doing it with very young talent. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
Probably the best young team. Because I thought for a second that they were the youngest team in the NBA, but I'm pretty sure that's Detroit. But I mean, OKC has to be like top 5 for youngest players or youngest team. But yeah, I agree. I think they're going to be like a fine wine and just get better with age. I mean, you got Bertans, Giddey, Shea, Chet. Like, that's a squad.
One big thing you guys are kind of forgetting about is the Thunder have so many picks that they've just hoarded that if they're in the race mid-year, they're going to be throwing those picks around, bringing people in.
They could easily trade for a star and just catapult themselves.
Oh, yeah. They have 37 picks.
Even if they don't trade like those picks, they have Houston's first-round pick. It's a top 4 protected, but Houston may not be a
Houston's going to be a top 4 pick.
They have Utah's first-round pick. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
But they have so much draft capital to just give away that they're going to bring in a veteran, and his name is DeMar DeRozan.
you said Zach LaVine wrong.
We'll trade him. Give us Houston's pick right now.
You guys are forgetting that we're going to re-sign DeMar DeRozan.
We're not going to re-sign. Why do you think of it? You know what? No. No, let's save that for a different episode.
All right. It's 100% accurate why you're going to see DeMar DeRozan in a Bulls jersey for the next, I'll hint, 3 years.
Stop.
Don't put that on us.
I'm just saying.
I don't think DeMar is the problem, though. I really think it's Zach is the problem. But it
I think the combination of the two.
Yeah.
No, and that's exactly what feeds into it. I mean, not to segue, because again, you know, we said we're going to do the NBA, but when you look at it, why I think we're going to re-sign DeMar, it's because it's just too, how do you put it? It just fits. Okay. Who else are you going to get to replace him? You're not going to let a player like DeMar DeRozan just walk. Okay. I think by the signing deadline, you will see DeMar DeRozan sign, I'll say, 3 years, $70 to $80 million contract.
All right. You heard it here first. Yeah.
Debo's not going anywhere. I will say Zach will be going somewhere before Debo does.
I'm fine with that.
I think Debo's gone before Zach.
All right. Yeah. Fans, if you're listening, go over to our page and let us know. Who do you think is going to be right? Team Dan or Team Salas? In the end, as long as we win, I don't care who gets traded. But I do think DeMar is going to stay here.
All right, we'll see. The team that Sal brought up earlier, we're finally getting into it. We can talk about the Hawks. Sal, you don't think the Hawks will stay competitive, right? That's what you're kind of going with?
I mean, okay, saying that they're not competitive, I will say I do think they're going to be competitive. Do I think they're good enough to be a top four team in the NBA, or I mean, in the Eastern Conference? I don't think so.
Okay. Let me go through some reasons kind of why. So right now they're 3-1 against teams over 500. They do kind of like the Pelicans are. They do struggle with like the worst teams, like the lower level teams, but their losses are only like they're averaging like losses by 6 points. So they're not getting blown out. So every game they're doing is pretty close. They're third in the league right now in points per game. They're third in the league in rebounds and sixth in assists. So they're putting up the stats. But that's not the only reason that I think they're going to get better. Right now, Trae Young is having a terrible year. He is not shooting well. His stats are down across the board other than assists. So right, good. He's shooting 27% from three. He averages like 33 or 37. He averages about 33% from three. He's shooting 33% from the field. He's normally like a 45% field goal player. So their best player is struggling right now, and he'll figure it out. And with him struggling, they're still one of the best teams in the league, scoring the most points. So I really don't see them falling back that far. I know you did say they lost the center, but Clint Capela has really stepped it up. I think he's getting like 11 rebounds a game. He's playing really well, good defense. And they're having Jalen Johnson, their power forward this year. He's shooting like 57% from the field. He's getting a decent amount of offensive rebounds. So they're one of those teams that if they figure it out and they're good, their star can figure out how to score again, they're going to be just fine. And Trae is making some highlight passes. I don't know if you guys saw that one where he drove to the basket and threw a ball behind someone's back while driving to the 3-point line. It was insane.
Yeah, I saw that.
But
yeah, that one was,
they're putting
sick
up really good stats with a struggling star. And by struggling, he's still scoring like 21 or 22 points a game. So how struggling really is he? So like, as much as we don't like Trae Young, some people do. Shout out Tim and Jenna. They like, they're Hawks fans. But
it's disgusting.
Disgusting. No, but really, their best player is not playing up to what he's used to. He's going to eventually average out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree that the Hawks are going to play tough every game. I don't disagree that the Hawks are going to be a thorn in your side team that takes you down to the wire and have to battle a couple games. But looking at the Western Conference here, I mean, are the Hawks better than the Indiana Pacers? Are the Hawks better than the Cleveland Cavaliers? Are the Hawks better than the Heat even? Right now, record-wise, yeah. I mean, but I personally think in a 7-game series with the Pacers, would the Hawks be able to keep up, you know, against Donovan Mitchell? Do you think Trae Young will be able to keep up?
Donovan Mitchell's going to score, but it's the point is the rest of the team has already stepped up on the Hawks.
Saying all the role players know their role and they're, you know, working as a whole entire unit. They don't need to lean on Trae so much. So yeah, I can see the Hawks sitting at 4 when it's all said and done. I mean, best 4, worst 6.
I mean, I can agree with that 6th. I mean, honestly, as much as I hate to say this, I don't realistically see the Bulls being at number 6 anymore. I can see the Hawks dropping to 6 and maintaining that spot. I do think that you're going to see the Pacers 4th overall. I just think that they're a more well-rounded team. You know, they have their problems, but I think they can get that squared away. I do think Trae Young turns it around. He's just way too talented of an athlete not to turn it around. The problem is if they become that jump shooting team, it's all fine and dandy until people aren't making their shots. And when you're not making your shots,
yeah, you're the Bulls.
Well, you see what the Bulls are dealing with. So, yeah, exactly. You're 12th in the East, 3-5, you know, losing to subpar teams. But nonetheless, you know, do I think they're a great team? Absolutely. I think that the Hawks are one of the up and coming teams that you need to watch out for. Do I think that they're good enough to maintain a number 4 spot in the East? Might be pushing it. But I do like them. I don't hate Ice Trae as much as you think. I think I hate his antics, but I do respect his skills as an athlete. I do think he's got tremendous talent. He is fun to watch. He's like Steph Curry.
He's a wish Steph Curry.
Yeah, no, that's it. That is 100% you know what it is.
He's like a Harbor Freight Steph Curry. Like Harbor Freight. What is Harbor Freight? I've never seen Harbor Freight. It's like a cheap like hardware store where you get like tools and stuff, but some of their tools work pretty well and they last a decent amount of time. But it's not as good as like DeWalt and things like that. But
oh, okay.
Yeah. It's Harbor Freight.
No, it is a quality store. I honestly, not to segue here, I just recently found out about Harbor Freight and I walk in there. I'm like, why don't more people know about this? So getting back on topic here, we're finally going to address the gorilla in the room or the unicorn in the room. Somebody want to tell me about the San Antonio Spurs? Are their flashes real, or do you think that Victor is a ticking time bomb? What do you think?
I think Victor, he's an absolute game-changing player.
Yes.
He doesn't have injury problems right now, but who knows? He's so skinny, but he has such a long reach. I think he, what was it? I saw it. Well, he was like a 10-foot standing reach. So just standing there, he can touch 10-foot. He can touch the rim, basically. You can't shoot anywhere near him. So good luck shooting threes. Good luck taking a mid-range jump shot.
Yeah, I saw a couple plays where he from mid-range, somebody was shooting a 3. I forgot who it was. I know it was, and he blocked him. I mean, it was ridiculous. The guy is an absolute unicorn. The problem with that is when you're 7-foot plus athletic and lanky like that, I mean, enter Manute Bol into the chat, enter all those centers that were phenomenal athletes. They just couldn't stay healthy. Not that I'm wishing that on Victor. I hope he does have a very successful, healthy career. But if the man doesn't condition his body, you know, I hope he does. He's going to fall victim to the
injury. He'll be just fine with you pulling up the comparisons of Bol Bol and stuff. I mean, with like modern technology and everything, like LeBron's playing, what, he's like 41 right now? You know, Oh, is he 38? He's 38. Well, shit, he's 41 in the league. Okay, he's. But yeah, I think Victor will be just fine. I think if he fills that skinny body out, then it's over for everyone else. Like, say, imagine Victor with the body of Giannis. You know, like, yeah.
That's
scary.
He
would just be running through all these centers, power forwards, whatever position, centers, power forwards, shooting guards, it doesn't matter. You're going to get blocked, and you're going to get bullied.
Right.
The Spurs
right.
struck gold when they got Victor.
Oh, yeah, they did.
So all...
Yeah, they really hit...
Yeah,
they
all
hit
they
the
need to do now is build, trust the process and build around Victor.
Well, the last process that that was supposed to be trusted in the league didn't end well.
I mean, Embiid got an MVP trophy.
Yeah, but he didn't get a Larry O'Brien trophy.
Trust the process.
I mean, here's the thing with Victor. I mean, I'm going to get a lot of haters for this, and I apologize in advance. Anything that Victor does this year, I'm taking with a grain of salt, because here's the thing. It's a caliber of player that we've never seen before, okay? It's a big, tall, athletic player that no one has ever seen. I'm wanting to see what he's like next year, after teams have already studied him, after teams have gotten a chance to see him play a full season. I want to see, once teams know him, can he still be Victor? No doubt in my mind that he can be. I'm just saying it might be a little too early. The man is a stellar athlete. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Victor is that this is fake. I'm just saying that it's easy to shine when no one is expecting you. Once people learn how good you are and learn your plays and learn your maneuvers, can you still survive? I mean, we see it all the time in football, not to draw the comparison, but when you got a short little flashy player that no one's ever seen before that can blow right through your defense, well, it makes it that much easier. But can that player still coexist once people have learned his moves? You know, do I think Victor Wembanyama is a tremendous athlete? Absolutely. But I kind of want to see more of him before sold on him.
That's fair. Yeah, I think this year two for Victor in the NBA will really show where he'll end up when it's all said and done. But, I mean, I have nothing but high hopes for the kid. I mean, I feel like he's been playing... How long has he been playing? Since... What he was like, yeah, since he was 19.
Yeah, I know he's been playing.
So I think he'll be just fine.
I mean, but has he been playing against the best talents in the world? I mean, and again, I agree with you. I think he's going to be, dare I say it, he could be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he probably will be a Hall of Famer, but if he doesn't get hurt, if he stays this course, but I want to see Victor once people have already gotten the chance to study him. Scott, what
really,
do you think?
The big thing, can he stay healthy? He has the perfect coach for it, because how many great big men has Pop coached?
I mean, one of them is the greatest power forward of all time.
And then the next one is almost the greatest power forward of all time.
Yes.
So I think he'll be fine. He just needs to put on muscle and put on some weight. Mm-hmm. It's just like how KD came into the league, how Giannis came in the league. They were skinny. They didn't have any muscle. And look at how both of them turned out. Not going to say Victor's going to turn out like that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Well, KD is still small.
Yeah.
Giannis put on weight, and he is one of the most dominant downhill players around. And Victor doesn't do that quite yet. He's more of a jump shooter, but he may change his game.
Right. While you were gone, I asked Sal, like, can you imagine what Victor would be like if he had Giannis's body type?
Exactly.
Like, it would be over for the rest of the league. It would just be done.
He's basically Giannis's big thing. He can't shoot. Victor can shoot.
Yeah.
So it's So who knows?
Yeah.
Hey, one thing about the Spurs that you guys are forgetting is my man Doug McDermott is on that team, and he is shooting like 57% from three right now.
Is he? Yeah. Is he killing it over there?
He's not scoring that much, but he's like hitting like 2 threes a game, and he's been playing pretty well. Another Bulls draft pick that we forgot to mention.
Yeah, in our last episode.
That's because I don't think we drafted him. I think Sacramento.
Oh, we traded. That's right. We did. We traded two picks for him from Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Waste.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember he was number 10 overall, and Scott, you were absolutely
Because I thought he was going to be
ecstatic when we got
him.
Yeah, Doug McBucket.
Hey, Zach Collins, pretty decent player on that team, can get a lot of rebounds too. So,
yeah. I mean, they have pieces.
And yeah, they got Trey Jones, Devontae Graham.
They're not there yet, but they will be in a couple of years. But then again, we say that about the Pistons every year, and they're not there.
Well, I mean, the Pistons also don't have a generational talent. So
they absolutely do have a generational talent. He's just never healthy.
The Pistons?
Cade?
Oh, yeah.
He's just never healthy.
But if you're not healthy, can you be a generational talent? Greg Oden was a generational talent. He was never healthy.
That's true.
Oh. You know who else was a generational talent? Brandon Roy. Derek fucking Rose. Excuse my language.
The Trailblazers drafts.
One of these days on the show, we need to have a game like the generational talent that never was lineup. Like at every position, just put an injury
Eddie Curry
player
because
that,
he ate the original Eddie Curry.
No, but I mean back to the Spurs. I think you guys both hit it right on the head. If anyone is able to coach Wemby, it'd be
Pop.
Pop. So, arguably the greatest coach of all time. I think he'll get that team squared away. Moving on, though, on top of the plus side of the league, let's look at some teams that are struggling. This is my favorite part of the show because we actually get to talk about the Bulls during the struggling section. Some of these are a surprise. Some of these are just, you know, obvious. We'll go through some of the teams that are worse than we thought, or they should be doing better. And number one being the Suns. I mean, the Suns right now are currently sitting 3-4, 12th in the Western Conference. And we're talking about a team that has arguably three of the great scorers in the league, and they're sitting at 12th. I mean, they have KD, Beal and Devin Booker. Now, granted, I know they haven't played a couple games, but still, what are you guys' thoughts on that team? Do you think that's misleading, or do you think that they just don't figure it out?
I think they just won't figure it. I honestly don't think that team's going to do much. I think they're going to be
You don't believe in the hype?
Yeah, I mean, you have a bunch of ball-dominant guards and KD being a forward that don't play defense. Like, yeah, get those buckets, but you're going to allow just as many buckets on the other side of the floor. And it's just not going to work. I don't see this working. That's why they're sitting at 12.
No.
Like, they'll probably jump up to, I don't know, maybe 6 seed. But no, I think someone on that team needs to go. They have too many of the same player.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Scott?
Just such a small team, too. Like, they're playing KD at power forward. He can't guard anybody at power, that like, big men like that. Not anymore.
Right.
He doesn't try anymore because...
He doesn't care. Yeah, he doesn't care about defense.
But they're starting Grayson Allen. I know that Beal's hurt, or Beal's been hurt, and he's coming back. And by the time this releases, he'll be back, and he would have put up 40 on the Bulls. But they're partially they're kind of old because Eric Gordon's starting for them. Grayson Allen, he's a piece of shit, so I don't respect him. but
no one should.
I don't think Nurkic is the answer at center for that team either. And
no.
Yeah, I still think that they should. Like Dan said, they play no defense.
How would you get Ayton or how would you keep Ayton and get Beal?
They had him.
No, you didn't.
They had him. To get Beal, yeah. That trade was for the Damian Lillard trade. They already had him. Yep. That was the Drew Holiday to the Drew Holiday to Portland and then got bought out. Yeah, they already had him. That team had almost a complete starting lineup. Granted, you know, DeAndre Ayton, whether he is DeAndre Ayton that he's supposed to be, or he's still, in my opinion, better than Nurkic. That was, I mean, I'll still say it to this day. I really don't know what the Phoenix Suns gained by making that trade. Unless Ayton was just an absolute terror in the locker room that KD or somebody said, I want him out of here.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
I think star power pushed him out.
I mean, yeah. But other than that, I mean, I really don't see what they gained. But besides the Suns, I mean, another team that was up top last year, but now they're almost at the bottom. The Kings. What do you guys make of the Kings? Do you think last year was a fluke, or do you think that these are the real Kings? What's up with that?
I don't know what to think of the Kings.
The Kings were my team to take a bigger step, and they've clearly sucked. So I don't know why. My guess is, like, Sabonis is not having that great of a year. They have JaVale McGee on the team, so you automatically just are clowns.
That's the NBA champion, JaVale McGee.
That's true, but I just don't know. De'Aaron Fox has been hurt. He's only played half the game, so losing your point guard, it's, I don't know. I think they'll bounce back, but what I said about them being possibly making the finals, no, I don't think so anymore. I know it's still early, and who knows what can happen, but they just haven't had it this year.
I mean, I don't know. Finals are, honestly, I'm one of those, I think the Kings are who the Kings are now. I think last year, I wouldn't call it a fluke, because any time that you play the way, you know, hard, you're going to get rewarded. But I don't think the Kings are as good as they were last year. I think that the West only got stronger. I think teams stepped up. You know, Timberwolves stepped up. Warriors, you know, were already good. They stepped up. Thunder stepped up. Pelicans have stepped up. You know, and those are all teams that, in my opinion, I think are better and have more assets than the Kings. So do I think that the Kings are a 13th seed in the West throughout the entire year? Absolutely not. But I don't think they're as good as people thought they were. I think, well, I wouldn't call it a fluke, but I think they're showing their true colors now. That's about.
I don't think that they're going to finish 13th. I think they're going to finish around like the 7th, 8th, 9th spot in the West. I think they got to figure it out when Fox comes back. But I mean, as long as they got Kevin Herter, they'll be okay. Red Velvet, baby. Red Velvet.
No, Red Mamba. Oh, no. Red Mamba was Scales.
No, that was White Mamba.
White Mamba. No, Red Mamba was, what's his name? Up north in Toronto. Chase, not Chase Buttinger.
It was Chase.
It was Chase. Okay, I know Chase. Okay, well, moving on. And then the teams that are struggling that kind of look like they should be doing better. What the hell is going on with the Grizzlies? They're sitting at 1-6, dead last in the Western Conference. Somebody want to tell me what's going on in Memphis?
No Ja. I think that's a big part of it. I think it's also some of the new, like, maybe Marcus Smart isn't vibing that well with the team. But yeah, I think mainly it's just them being young and them being those young guns that they got the reputation of being. I think it's catching up to them. I think that they need to realize, hey, people caught on to our game plan last year and they're paying the price for it. And again, without their star player, Ja, like, they're not.
Do you think they move up at all from dead last? Because I think Steven Adams is hurt too, right?
Yeah, I think he is too. I think once they get Adams and Ja back, I think they'll be fine. I don't know where they're landing.
Would you call them a playoff team? How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll call them a playoff team.
Yeah.
They're a playoff team.
Okay.
I believe they can make it. Adams is out for the whole season.
Oh, he's out for the season?
Oh, is he out for the whole season?
He had surgery on his PCL. Yeah.
Oh, shoot. He'll be gone for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they're a play-in team. Desmond Bane's definitely stepping up in Ja's absence, but just he was such a big part of that team. Ja was he has that attitude that like rallies the team around him, and they don't seem to have that right now.
You just want to get them all fired up and pumped and ready to, you know,
but
cut throats. Do they need Dylan Brooks?
Did Dylan Brooks hold that team together too? That was another weird thing.
Well, I'll say that.
No, I was waiting. Well, they
weren't 1-6 when Dylan Brooks was on the team.
Don't shut up.
Well, hold on. Let me reference the Houston Rockets, where Dylan Brooks currently plays, sitting at 8th place with 3 wins.
See, I think that's a fluke. That's
really.
That's early in the season shenanigans. That's what that is. I fully expect the Rockets to finish like 10th, 11th. I don't think they're going to be at the bottom of the league, but I strongly believe that they're going to.
Dylan Brooks in the running 11th. For MVP.
Go fuck yourself, Sal.
Dylan Brooks in the running for biggest clown of the league.
You guys, have you seen? I'm not a fan of his by any stretch of the imagination, but I am a big fan of giving credit where credit's due. Have you seen the season he's having so far?
I know. Didn't he drop like 20 the other day?
He's shooting like 59% from three. He's got like almost a 60% field goal average. I don't like his antics or his, I don't like his character.
Yesterday he dropped a whopping 9 points and shot a staggering 1 from 3.
He's a good role player. He's a scumbag.
He's a good role player.
He also told LeBron that he's ready to lock him down, which means LeBron's going to drop like 60.
I am very excited. I am very excited for that game.
Then LeBron's going to have, the Lakers call the NBA and investigate his fouls. Did you guys see that? Like LeBron, I don't want to talk too much about a story I don't know, but the only thing I saw was that Lakers are contacting the NBA about LeBron not getting his calls. I mean, it's pretty obvious that LeBron James does go to the hoop a lot and may or may not get the calls sometimes, but I mean, do you really think that garnishes a call to the NBA for that?
Well, like the whole entire, like, you think the entire game is going to change off of...
If you're the Chicago Bulls, yes.
I'm going to come to the Lakers' defense on this one. At some point, there needs to be some accountability for how bad refs have been. Because they didn't just call the NBA. They sent an email with videos of all the fouls that they missed. So, the NBA protects the refs way too much, and the fouls that they sent, those are absolutely like one probably should have been a technical. So they have every right to make that call. And every team is crying to the NBA. It just came out because it's LeBron and it's the Lakers, but ESPN that dropped
it's ESPN.
At some point, the refs need to be held accountable for their bad calls, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. And I can understand that, because here's the thing. I hate turning everything back to Chicago because I watch most of their games. I've noticed that referees in general haven't been calling fouls that much at all. I mean, how many times have you seen Zach and Debo last year go to the cup and get their calls? This year, it seems like they're doing the same thing. They're just not getting their calls. And there's been some times where Zach LaVine has gotten absolutely hacked and has gotten no whistle.
Well, they also didn't get that many calls last season either.
In my opinion. But definitely more than this year. It seems like referee put his whistle in his pocket when Zach goes up now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Scott and saying that the league needs to do
something. This isn't mutiny on the refs at anything, but I think that if anything, this will open the door for referees tightening up their game a little bit. All right, let's move on to the Rookie of the Year race. Guys, is there any competition at all, or do you think Wemby just has this lock loaded and no thanks for playing?
I think it's up to, or it's between Wemby and Chet. Both players have very similar builds and game, so I think the race for the Rookie of the Year will be a very entertaining one this year. Final call, though. Oh, final call? Oh, my God, put me on the spot like this. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's just Wemby. I mean, the league being the league is.
I think it relies on which one of those two can stay healthy. But my dark horse pick is actually Brandon Miller from Charlotte.
Charlotte? Really?
Yeah. Okay. So he's coming off the bench right now, and he's playing pretty well. He's had a couple games where he's scored 20, 25 points, and he's in the six-man role. LaMelo Ball is playing like shit. He got paid and doesn't seem to care anymore. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point they bench him and start playing Brandon Miller, and he starts averaging 20, 25 points a game. He's that type of player that can take over and do that. He did it in college. He brought that Alabama team pretty far, so he's my dark horse. Plus, I put money on him to win. But again, if Wemby's going to win it if he stays healthy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anytime there's financial bias in it. No, I think you guys are both right. I don't even think there's a competition. I think it's just if he plays healthy, Wemby's got it in the bag. I mean, besides having the fan interest, the game, the hype, the whatever, you name it, he's got it right now. I think that, unfortunately for the rest of the players drafted this year, you know, there's no chance. I mean, not that there's no chance, you know, but I think he's just got it too locked up in the bag. But a race that isn't locked up in the bag just yet, the way, 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 way too early picks. Who do you guys got for MVP? Or who do you guys got as an MVP candidate?
I mean, I think it's the pretty obvious four would be Joker, Tatum, Luka, and Embiid. If I had to choose one, like right now, I think I would go with Joel. I mean, he's tied for most points, I think, this season. His field goal percentage is out of this world. Yeah, I think I would not be surprised if Embiid went back to back with his MVP reign.
I would love to see Luka or Tatum do it. And I think Tatum has a better chance. He seems more of a consistent player than Luka is. It's probably going to be Embiid or Joker that end up winning it. But we'll see. Maybe Donovan Mitchell makes a run at the end of the year or just like throughout the year. But right now it's between those four that you just said, but it's super early. Who knows what's going to happen? But Donovan Mitchell also seems like someone that could put up a lot of stats for.
Yeah.
If the team's somewhat struggling around him, he's going to be scoring a lot.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You already said it. My pick is Jason Tatum. And here's why. He's a man on a mission. Okay. He's seen the mountaintop. He hasn't gotten to the top yet. And I think once a man has tasted the waters of victory, I think that his thirst grows stronger. I think that he is the real deal. I think Jokic already having won the NBA Finals last year, I don't want to say that he's got nothing to play for because that's just not the player Jokic is, but I think that his candidacy is kind of takes a step back. Luka, the man is a stat stuffing machine. He can give you whatever you want, and he's just that tremendous of a talent. But I think Jason Tatum, as far as what the definition of an MVP is, and that is if you take this player off of the team, what does your team look like? I think that without Jason Tatum on this team, the Boston Celtics are terrible. Because I think that when it comes down to it, and Jason Tatum has proven it, he can put the team on his back and carry you to victory. A true definition of an MVP, much like Jokic last year, or much like Embiid last year, and Jokic the year prior. Really, I don't think there's any other clear winner.
Real quick, I don't know if you guys saw this video, but after the last Denver game, Jokic had the media, whatever, post-game thing. He didn't take any questions from anybody. He just kind of just started rambling on and saying, oh, yeah, yeah, I agree, and just started like kind of answering his own questions. It is fantastic if you can find the video. It's just he starts talking and just about the whole team and all that, and just like you could tell that all the reporters are just like in on the joke, and it's great.
The Joker.
Yeah, I'll try to find it.
All right. So we're coming to the end of our podcast, but of course we can't come to the end without playing a little game and testing the knowledge of the co-hosts here. So we are going to change things up. We're going to play a little game of Who Am I? I'm going to give you some accolades, stats, whatever, to a player, and you're going to have to guess who he is. The stats will get harder, will get easier. I'll throw the harder ones first, and then they'll progressively get harder.
John Lucas III.
Well, ladies and gennaro, your winner Pargo. And still champion, Scott Berman.
Aaron Bruce.
No, that's not at all who it was. Okay.
Aaron Bruce.
Whenever you guys are ready. So it'll be 5 clues.
Okay. Do we get to, if we can't get it, how do we?
If you don't get it, I just tell you. Okay. After 5 clues, if you don't get it, just say, I don't know. Okay. Now, all these players I'm about to mention, there's going to be 3 rounds, best of 3. They're all Chicago Bulls alumni or current players. Okay. That'll be your only hint. All right. So starting out, number 1, he was drafted in the 2004 NBA draft. Number 2, he wore number 7. Number 3, he went to UConn. Number 4, he won 6th Man of the Year. And number 5, he was an NCAA champion. Who am I?
This is Marcus Teague.
Nope. Marcus Teague was not drafted in 2004.
I'm just... Sure. My mistake. I just got caught on the... Yeah. So, oh, he went to Kentucky.
So he was... I'm going to go with...
Yeah. Yeah, it's 100% was. That was Ben Jordan. Yeah. All right. 1 to Scott. I like it. Okay. All right. All right. You guys ready for number 2?
Yep.
All right. Again, yeah. All Chicago Bulls alum. Okay. This one's going to be easier. We'll go easier for you. Okay. He played small forward, power forward. His playing career spanned from 1985 to 2006. His original team was Yugoplastica. He's a 6th Man of the Year in 96. And finally, he's a 3-time NBA champion.
Tony Kukoc.
Yep. Kind of an easy one. Tony. Yep. Okay. Okay.
Maybe quicker. You guys ready for the... You knew that.
Yeah, you guys ready for the hard one?
We're just going to jump in whenever we know it, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, for the champion, all right, for the number 3, for the winner takes all, you guys ready? All right.
Yeah.
This one is good. He played from 2005 to 2017. He is currently an NBA assistant coach. He went to college in Baylor and Oklahoma State. He's most notable for wearing number 15. He is a 2009 NBA D-League champion. And he's coached 3 different NBA teams as an assistant coach. Who am I?
I got nothing.
He's an assistant coach.
He's a coach now? He's an assistant coach. Yeah, that makes it harder. I was going to say Adrian Griffin. I have no idea.
Okay. How about this? This will make things easier. He's 5'11".
Nate Robinson.
This doesn't make
Nate Robinson
easier.
Was 5'11".
Yeah, Nate Robinson.
How do you know that? Why do you know that? John Lucas III.
It is John Lucas III.
Yeah,
he's an NBA coach.
Yeah, he's actually the assistant coach of the Suns right now.
Good for him.
Yeah. I saw him last year when I went to the Bucks Suns game, and I was like, "What?
You're my hero.
Yeah. What are you doing
here?" Yeah, yeah. His yeah. As a tenure, he started coaching in 2017 for the Timberwolves, assistant coach. Yeah, and then in 2021-22, he was a Lakers coach assistant, and then this year he's the coach of the Phoenix Suns. Probably explains why they're doing so terribly. But no, that was fun.
Yeah, just chuck it. Just chuck it off.
Yeah.
Hey, didn't he drop like 50 for us once?
Let me see his career high here.
He had one game I remember where he just went nuts.
Yeah, he did have that one game.
That one game. Hold on, let me.
He was our starting point guard. How dare you?
In a year without Derrick Rose, CJ Watson.
Yeah, I would rather start.
Yeah.
Who was that guy? Mike Jones.
Mike James.
Yeah, Mike James.
His career high was with the Bulls. It was 25.
Jesus. Maybe it was a playoff game or something. I don't know. There was one game where he was just bombing threes.
He was.
So Scott, you take the victory.
I'm
again.
Undefeated still, Dan. Come on,
four. You haven't beaten them yet, Dan.
Four episodes.
Apparently not. I'm not keeping track of this. Scott is better. Apparently. I'll come.
Let's see. You won the first game. You won the first game.
Yep.
Then you won the draft one.
Yep. And then this one.
You're undefeated. Oh man.
Yeah. Dude, you barely won that draft one, and I'm still upset that I.
How do you come on a Bulls podcast and not mention Michael Jordan?
I didn't put Derrick Rose, podcast, so don't feel bad.
Michael Jordan.
Okay, so that's a fair trade right there. That's a fair trade right there. So Scott's win streak is the only win streak in Chicago right now. Let's just let that be known.
It's nothing to be proud of.
No, what's something to be proud of is Scott's won as many games as the Bulls have this year.
Yeah, buddy.
And it took them less chances to win.
That is true.
But anyway, we're going to draw this episode down to a close. From all of us here at the Horns Over Hoops podcast, we'd like you to slide over to our Instagram page where you can find our link tree at the Horns Over Hoops podcast. Click on that. You'll find a link to our Discord as well as all of our other socials. Click on the Discord, join our community, chat about the game, just have some fun. We'll continue to crank out new podcasts every other week. We do have a podcast interview, as Scott mentioned, with his buddy Brad. You're going to want to check that out. He shed some light on sports betting as well as dives into the NCAA. So you're going to want to check that out. We have more interviews and more fun things scheduled. If there's anything you want to see on the show, drop us a contact. Our email is in the link tree. Let us know what you want to hear about. And with that being said, everyone, have a good night. Have a good morning. See red. And let's go Bulls.